Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. We are. We're in the UK today, Brains. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we're going to London Town, across the pond. We are going to visit with Selvia. I'm going to get a point for saying her name correctly. Lachuna. Say it for me again.
Lachuna.
Lachuna.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Where are you from originally? That's not a Polish name. That's not a British name.
No, well, my name doesn't have an origin, but I am from Lithuania.
Lithuania.
So, yeah, this is where I come from. But name actually comes from a plant and a flower.
Were you born and raised in Lithuania? How long did you live there?
So I lived for around 21 years, 21, 22. I was born and raised there, yeah.
I'm not familiar. Tell me a little bit about Lithuania.
So Lithuania is part of the Europe. It's also part of the European Union, which allows us to move freely. But its neighbors with Russia, Poland, sort of more bigger countries known in the world. Well, Russia is now known really well now for good stuff. But
I've always wanted to go to St. Petersburg. But I'm going to tell you, I went through the airport because, you know, it splits off there. You go to China or you go to Russia. I went to China. Those people, they looked at a sister pretty rough. They're going to Russia. I don't know if they're Negro friendly. Do they like black people there? I mean, I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but are there black people there in Russia, Lithuania, and those parts of the countries, or Africans?
So I've seen my first black person when I was around 19, 18. I wasn't raised to be discriminated by anything. It was just interesting to me because I never seen different color person. My friend had a husband, a black man husband. And I know whenever they visited, they did get racist comments, and her kids now get racist comments. So you can get in outside of capital pretty still.
Well, it was strange because when I entered into China, girl, I thought I was going to have a problem. I had my Tupac shirt on. Hey, sister, we like your afro. You know, we down with Tupac. I was like, well, hell, I'm right at home.
Yeah, it's like, it's very welcoming. But yeah, I think those countries are quite behind with everything. It's just like, not even the color, but even like, even more things, even bigger things.
You're not exposed, and that's what it is. Life is about exposure. Life is about conversations. Life is about sharing experiences. And, you know, it does you such a disservice if you don't see other parts of the country. I love to travel. And the last thing that I pack is my American. I always say please and thank you. I'm extra nice, you know, because folks is cooking your food and you got to close your eyes and go to sleep. You know, but you want to immerse yourself in the culture. So I'm so glad that you're here to share that with me a little bit about Lithuania. Tell me one of the most beautiful things that you remember about your country.
So the nature is really beautiful. The one thing that we have is four seasons. So we have proper winter, autumn, spring, and summer. So you go in the whole circle. I love the food. It's a very specific cuisine, not very popular in other countries. Like, let's say Italian is very popular, French is really popular, but I do love the food. And
what kind of food what do you consume there? Do you eat a lot of meat, a lot of vegetables? Is it spicy? Tell me a little bit about the food.
For people who like spicy, it's going to be bland because we mainly use salt and pepper, and it's more like potatoes, various of consistency of potatoes, like grated potatoes, mashed potatoes, just boiled potatoes, and a lot of chicken and pork. That's the main meat, because in the winter there is sometimes minus 30, so you need to really eat fatty, so you kind of like be able not to freeze to death.
What are the people like? Are they thick and chunky, eating all those carbs, the potatoes? Or are they, you know, because I've been looking around too, and Americans, they are just so, you know, just the portion sizes that we get, the refills on beverages, the amount of sugar. Every time I travel and I have a sweet treat, I enjoy it so much because I can taste the actual fruit in it or yeah. the other things. I don't just load up on sugar. So are there chunky people there in Lithuania, or are they, you know, pretty healthy?
So with the health is quite questionable, but you're going to see a lot of skinny or thin girls. This is what we are quite popular, blonde, skinny girls, blue eyes. So you're going to see a lot of that, but it's not because I think sometimes with the food, we're still forced to look a certain way to be accepted. But since people cook more at home because they can't afford to go eat in restaurants, so naturally they don't gain a lot of weight because home cooked food is usually more healthier.
It is. And that's what we're doing. The economy is so bad here. I don't know how people can afford to eat out. So thank you for that cultural exchange. And Brain, check out those eyebrows. Yes, I have to comment on them. I told her they are absolutely everything. They're gorgeous. So tell us a little bit more about you, Salvia.
So I am a mindset relationship coach, and also I am a certified hypnotherapist. So I work with coaching people on any sort of areas, because mindset affects everything in our life from the moment we wake up and even when we go to sleep, because our subconscious is constantly on. So I experience a lot of traumas and journeys in my life. So this is, I believe, where I got led to help other people. It wasn't actually a plan, but a couple of years ago, people started coming to me and saying, oh my God, can you help me? Can you, you know, let me understand, how did you change your mind? How from barely making ends meet, you've gone into making a lot of money. So then I thought, well, if a few people ask me, then I could help even more people to just break the barriers, whatever they are in life, and just to give them inspiration that no matter what happens, you always have a chance to reach for more.
All right. So I always like to go deep, because everybody's got their own different interpretations of things. Mindset. Okay, that's a big $25 word to me. How are you able to people change their mindset? Okay, because this is the deal. Brains, your mind is a machine with a lot of different intricate parts that run, you know, your health, your heart, your breathing, your thoughts, your emotions. Okay. And so when people say, I'm a mind shift, you know, I work in mind shift or mindset, you know, it's not a dial that you can turn, and it's always in flux. I had a conversation with myself the other day. I love to check in with the board of directors up here. I really do. I really think sometimes I'm the smartest person in the room.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah. But when I do that, you know, I question myself. I take the good and the bad. I process it. You cannot, in my opinion, I'm not the professional, I'm not a hypnotherapist, but you can't always be in that positive mindset. Because to me, that's just tricking yourself. It's allowing yourself to edit and filter information. It's allowing you to process and take responsibility and accountability for your actions. It's allowing you to plan and make suggestions for what's going to move forward. It's that neuro-linguistic programming, that conversation that you're constantly having, and how to change that conversation. Because I was in a funk the other day. I was like, what in the world is wrong with me? And then you know what? I said, you know what? I've got the power. I've got the actual power to change this. Change it right now. And I changed it, and I felt a whole lot better. Am I hitting the nail on the head here?
Yes. So the mindset is combined between subconscious mind and conscious mind. So your subconscious mind is more responsible for automatic programming, like you breathing, you driving, you blinking, you sleeping, you know when you want to eat, how much you want to eat. So it has more automatic. But subconscious mind also takes in deeper programs. Let's say you were born in family and your parents said, we don't have money. So you create a program that I don't have money because my parents said we don't have money. Your conscious mind is responsible for more. What do you do when you are awake? Let's say you're learning something, you make sure you don't die. So let's say you're even cutting vegetables so you don't cut your finger off. Your mind protects you. And even like if you want to decide something, as you said, you caught yourself like a little bit negative. So that is also conscious mind doing it. But how you can work around it, it's a different techniques. There are different techniques for conscious and subconscious mind. So hypnotherapy is more for subconscious mind, how you can go in and reprogram much easier. With conscious mind, you can do a little bit like catch yourself in negative state. And let's say, think about it. What is triggering me? What happened? Why am I feeling like this? And you just like understand on the conscious level, okay, maybe there is a person around me who caused me feeling sad, upset, maybe even a little bit worthless today. But is that true? No, it's not. As you said, you have a power to change it. But so many people don't notice it. They don't do self-check-ins. They don't catch themselves, that it spirals into negativity and it just kind of goes deep into our minds.
Then there's also the outside influence of what you have been subjected to, you know?
Yeah, so it's family, religion, culture.
Family, religion, relationships, body image. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago. You know, what society says, your finances. You had a pretty traumatic upbringing. Would you mind sharing with us a little bit about the experience that you had with your father growing up?
Yes, sure. So I like to share my story to inspire someone if they are in similar situations so they can get out. So my father was psychopath narcissist. Now, what does that mean? That means that person cannot feel naturally. They were born without capability to feel. And where they feel excitement is torturing someone. So I was tortured a lot to behave certain way, to never say no, to never disagree, always obey and serve what I was told to. So it's mainly like doing some jobs and everything. And if you do try to disobey, you're either beaten. I had pets killed to just break my mind, break my spirit. So I would never question. I would just say, yes, I'm going to do everything to just minimize the pain, or my other family members were threatened. So if you do not do this, I'm going to harm your brother, I'm going to harm your mother, and you're going to be responsible for that. I couldn't express my feelings anywhere because my father was pretty rich and impactful person. So the whole town was controlled by him. So I couldn't go and say to my aunt or somewhere, and you know what, I think this is not normal, what's happening in my family. So I had to put a smile on my face and do not allow anyone like to understand what's happening. Even if they said, is everything okay? I had to smile, hold my tears and say, everything is okay. And I was a little child, but that was my survival. Wow. So, yeah. Now,
you had siblings? You have brothers and sisters?
I had two older brothers.
Were they subjected to that as well?
Yes, we all been, the whole family was, there was no exceptions, no nothing. It's just when, I'm the youngest, and narcissists are psychopaths, they progress with the age. So I think when I was born, it gone way worse, but my brothers were already out from house. So it was just me and my mom, and it went quite brutal and fatal in some cases. So I just had to find the way to survive and do something. I harmed myself physically. So I was cutting my arms. I thought about suicide, but I was too scared to do it. And then somehow I just realized there has to be some way, some different way.
I hate to talk about this, but can you tell me about cutters? Yeah. I know a couple people that have children that are cutters. Girl, it hurts me to cut myself with a knife and I'm cooking in the kitchen. Is that a way of releasing pain? Is that a way of pre-suicidal activity? I don't understand where that cutting comes from.
So cutting is comes into the play when your emotional pain is too much and you can't handle it. So cutting causes physical pain, and when you release blood from the body, it makes you a little bit dizzy. So you sort of kind of get stoned. So someone uses drugs, someone uses alcohol or whatever. Well, with cutting, it's very similar. And I've got addicted to it. So it is as addiction too. So sometimes you do to relieve a pain. I know some people grow to the suicidal because they get used to it, to harming themselves. It becomes normal to them. So they grow to suicide if nothing changes. I was just releasing my pain. And I think when my mom realized that we moved to the different town, so I was separated a little bit from abuse. But since it was a different town, I met different people. And then I started realizing this was normal, how we lived.
Wow. Yeah. So your mother was subjected to torture as well?
Yes, as much as she revealed lately, she was tortured since the day they were married. There was horrible things done to her to break her spirit and just stay calm. I know when my mom went and divorced, she was told that you try doing that and you're going to find your kids' heads on the fence. So my mom never was brave enough until we were grown-ups.
Did you ever meet your grandparents?
I only met my grandmothers from father's and mother's side, but I never met grandfathers.
Did you have a relationship with your father's mother?
Not really, because since a young age, she didn't like us a lot, and it was lying that we've been bad kids, doing stuff, stealing things, which we never did. And we sort of saw her living in delusional world, so she was lying and living in that lie. But at the time, we didn't realize it was mental illness or something, because it was never talked about. Like, you just go on, you brush off your feelings, anything, and you just continue.
The reason why I ask that is because I'm trying to trace back the epigenetics, the generational trauma that your father must have been subjected to. Because for some reason, I don't know, I'm the eternal optimist. I just don't think people raise their hand and say, hey, sign me up for some crazy shit. I'll take the job, you know. I had a brother that was, I believe he was a narcissist. I really do. And but he magnified with liquid courage. Did your father drink or use any sort of substance abuse?
Oh, yes. He was addicted to alcohol, and he had doctors prescribing the prescription pills, which are made way more powerful when you mix them with alcohol. So it was that. But with specialists, I figured out that he was a psychopath. So naturally, he had no emotions. And for them, it's very boring to live like that. So they need to torture someone. Because he was a hunter. He loved to torture animals, then share those stories. And so that was that part. But with the narcissist, he was always important. He was always the smartest, always the right one, always the perfect one. And like, you couldn't say anything.
You know, someone else told me that, and I never created a parallel between the two, is that people that are abusers, they abuse the family pet. They really are cruel to them. Yeah. It's like a person that, you know, beats his wife. I had a friend that her husband socked the chihuahua now, in the eye. The poor little thing's eye was all swollen up. Two weeks later, my friend's eye, like the chihuahua. The same thing. I really didn't think that. So it's abuse. It's really, really horrible to live that way. Okay, so you have your awakening. And you pull back the layers and you say, you know what? I've had enough of this. Turn down the noise. Tell me what that experience was like when you had your aha moment.
So at that point, I had anxiety attacks that I had 12-hour memory loss. And it was a real risk that I could commit suicide during those 12 hours, not even realizing. So I went to my local GP and said, I need to pause my studies because I'm emotionally not in place to continue them. And they offered me a psychologist help, like, would you go to, you know, GP psychologist? And at that point, I was just like, I've got to try what it is. If it doesn't, I don't like it, I can always move on. But the risk for me was that in my country, if you go to psychologist, everybody assigns you as mentally ill. So this is it. You are second level person or anything. But I did try. I quietly went and I did like the lady. So I started working with her. And then when my mom figured out, she was like, you can't tell anyone. This is the biggest disgrace for family. You can't reveal to anyone. So it was a big secret for a long time, but it started helping me to educate myself. What was my father? What he had done? Why he had done those things? how to communicate with people. I had no clue about emotions. I had no idea it's such a thing. Then people relationship, how does that work? Because I knew only shouting and beating. That's all I knew. I was like a wild animal literally coming into society. So I had to learn everything from scratch that my parents were supposed to teach, but I was starting to learn around 17, 18 years old.
And how do you re-raise a grown person? Because your formative years are really, I mean, they say from the age of two.
Well, from zero, us now, right, science. Right.
Because, yeah, you know, the nurturing and the bonding and the hugging and the kissing and all of those things. And to wake up one day and realize that you've been numb or you've been, you know, suppressed. Someone's had their leg or their knee on your neck. You know that story, right?
Yeah.
So you've seen what's happened. How did that help? How did you start to develop your own love language, your own love relationship? First, let's start with loving yourself and then start with loving others, because you've seen this dysfunction. That's been the only reflection that you've seen in the mirror. And now you've got this new thing called love. What was that like?
It was really weird because at that time I was in a relationship with a narcissist and I thought like the whole relationship.
Oh, wait a minute. You got a boyfriend that was a narcissist too?
Yeah. I've been a child and I've been in relationships, so I know both aspects.
Wow.
So it was also mentally torturing. So when I was speaking to my psychologist and saying, you know, this is what's happening, I don't understand. Can you teach me? Can you explain? And she started speaking about boundaries, about values. And I'm just like, oh, this is such a thing I don't understand. But then I slowly realized that I had no boundaries. I had no values. I wanted to be loved, but I had no clue how does that look like until someone showed attention for me. That was good enough, but actually wasn't. I was still unhappy. I was still crying, just tearing myself in pieces inside. So I slowly started learning, but I was so eager. I gave myself like 100%. I was so interested in what she was telling me. She was giving me the books, the articles. I was soaking everything in. And then I started to realize this is my boundary. I don't like when someone shouts at me. I don't like when someone leaves the conversation when we are still speaking. I don't like when someone calls me names. And I started building my confidence and pushing people back, that if anyone tried to push me or use me, I learned to do self-defense. And then I developed that I have a natural habit to court when people lie and absorb the energy. So I know when someone's intentions are like especially bad. So I started using that into my kind of a whole skill set. And I started realizing how nice I am. I got even things to do, like write 50 things that you love about yourself, even your eyelashes, your legs. And it was the first
time. Eyebrows, girl.
Yeah. It was like, it's such a nonsense. Like, what is it going to do for me? But then I still done it. I trusted the process. And I started realizing how much I do love myself. Mm. I love my body. I love who I am because I'm really beautiful. I always thought I'm not good enough with my body, with my looks. Mm. And that someone truly should appreciate that who I am, because I'm a good person. I don't do bad things, like hurting someone on purpose. So that self-love started to grow, but my confidence was still shaky. And then I had to meet a hypnotherapist and he offered me a couple of sessions. And during those sessions, I improved so much and so quickly that I was mind blown. I never heard about hypnotherapy. I never knew what it is. But the person introduced me, said, this is how it works. Do you want to do it? And I'm just like, yes, of course I want to do it. I'm going to try everything what can help me. Mm. So I was really like a sponge absorbing every self-help I can get and explore and try, because I tried even like T. Harv Eker school, their kind of exercises. I was doing books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad to Understand Financial, Fuck It Therapy. So I was going through all of things, but hypnotherapy kind of hit me. And I was like, how come you can reprogram person in hour or two, especially with their trauma they've been battling for the rest of their life? So that was like insane. And this is where my self-love and self-confidence even boosted like in a very new level.
And so then when you went back and met your mom and your brothers, they said, This isn't the Sylvia that we know.
No. A lot of people dropped off instantly because I became strong and confident person. And then I have a guy chasing me and I'm like, what do you want? I'm really not interested now. And at that time I was moving to UK and I said, you know what, I'm moving. And he said, okay, I'm going to move with you. And I'm just like, we know each other 3 months. This is, doesn't sound like a good idea. this is way too soon, okay? But someone said to me, go with it, because the person was so caring. I was going through tough time at that point, and he was always there, like bringing me food, always supporting, always calling. Even when my cat was sick at 12 at night, he left his friends and came to see like me in the hospital. I was like, okay, are you a narcissist? Are you manipulating? What's wrong with you?
Right. Let me start ticking off the boxes.
Yeah, but it didn't trigger me. So, well, now he became my husband.
Wow.
Yeah, and we never said any to each other harsh word. There is no shouting. There is no fights, which I was never used to. I was used to fights, beating each other, insulting each other. Now it's like a peace on the mountain. That's how relationship look like. If we do anything together, we do it together.
And you know, some people are so uncomfortable with peace.
Yes, yes.
They don't know it. And I know nothing about that. I had a boyfriend one time that loved to argue. Loved to argue. Anything. That was his thing. And I was like, dude, way too much energy. You know, I've been married now to Mr. Magnificent 38 years.
Wow, that's long.
He has never, which he's not supposed to, he's never raised his hand at me. He's never called me out of my name. And I can be a cold piece, but I know my boundaries too. I don't provoke him, you know?
Yeah.
If I want to call him a bunch of choice words, that's inside my car when I'm driving in the opposite direction. I don't do that. I don't emasculate him. I know my boundaries, because if we get into an entanglement, I don't think I would win, you know. But again, you got to know when to hold. You got to know when to fold. And it's about self-love and self-preservation. What do they say when you're on an airplane? Put your oxygen mask on first. Because you can't save anybody else. Your responsibility is your own individual journey, brains. Okay? This is not a collective. You know, you have to do your own thing. Okay, so now, let me ask you a little bit about this is your husband now, right?
Yeah.
You have children?
Yes. Well, no, because before we started anything serious, I expressed that I don't want kids. And if he does want kids, this is where we part ways now. And he doesn't want to, so we have agreement.
Okay, so what was his upbringing like? Because he's a much kinder, gentler soul. What is his relationship like with his parents and his mom, if you can share?
Well, as much as I investigated, because that calmness wasn't really good calmness. He had a really bad trauma at 4 years old, a huge abuse, that he just learned to keep his mouth shut. So that's why he's so calm and good. But in general, he had the respect that you need to respect your partner, your family. So he had a really good understanding about that. But now I'm more encouraging him to raise his voice, to speak out, to share his opinion, because I sometimes notice that he's too quiet, which I'm just like, you know, encourage, just share your opinions. What do you think?
Do you think that people kind of take advantage of him being a little docile?
On work, definitely, because I coach him and pushed him sometimes to stand his ground, because he's incredible specialist. He has knowledge. He's really, really good. Whatever he does, he gets himself 100%. And I know how good his job is because we work together. I worked on the projects with him. So when I notice that people take advantage, I sort of point out to him that, you know what, I don't think that's right. And then he sees it, because for some reason he was taught not to see or not to raise a concern when you are used, or just keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hate when people manipulate kids.
I know.
It burns, as we say, my draws, okay? I get hotter than fish grease. There's a situation, I saw some kids the other day, and their mother was saying to them, we don't talk, we don't tell that, we don't do this, we don't do that. And you know, and I was like, okay. So then you know, I got my granddaughters. And I told them, I said, let me tell you something. If somebody's going to hurt you, I'm going to tell. But I want you to tell. I want you to speak up for yourself. No, this is not good. No, this doesn't feel good. No, I'm not responsible. But take responsibility for your actions.
Yeah, we're not, exactly.
And, you know, and they're not allowed. You're raising future individuals that are going to be contributors to society, brains. You know, who wants to be cussed at? Who wants to be hit? You know, my dog chewed up something of mine. And I'm telling you, I talked to, now I did cuss the dog. But I didn't hit the dog, but I sure put a cussing on him. But you could even see how the dog just kind of shrunk up and just kind of felt like, this does not feel good. So can you imagine that day in and day out and not having a way out and not trying to figure it out? It's crazy. It's crazy. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. You are absolutely wonderful. Let's ask you some fun questions about you. Okay. What do you do for fun or recreation?
Well, I usually go outside with my corgis somewhere. And then
That's right. You told me you had corgis.
I have corgis. And for Queen's Jubilee, they've been called into the photo shoot, and we've done photo shoot in the pub, and there's been line of kids wanting to see corgis.
Wow. They're a pretty expensive breed too. Are they easy to keep up with? You know, you don't have to do a lot of grooming, or are they pretty parsnickety? They have an attitude. Tell me about a corgi.
They have an attitude. So I haven't seen a dog, and I had quite a few dogs, who have an attitude and talk back at you. So they literally argue with you. They need a lot of grooming because they shed a lot. Oh my God, they shed a lot. And then if someone wants to speak with us, they join the conversation, which clearly we can't hear the other person because they're just like, because they're not aggressively bark, but they're just like, I'm here too, come on.
Wow. And the queen has like six of them?
Yep. So we always wonder, does the queen manage corgis or corgis manage queen?
Probably, you never know. If you were an appliance in the kitchen, Salvia, what appliance would you be?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll spend a lot of time there. I would probably would be oven.
Why?
Because I associate good food with oven because it makes everything better, nicer, and just changes the whole thing. So I probably see myself as a person, as a also therapist, that people come with me to me with pain, with issues, and I just like cook them into a nice, beautiful fest.
I know. I'd be the refrigerator because I like to chill.
Yeah. I'm now thinking, do I have a problem helping people?
No. What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without?
Oh, my pets. Communicating with other people. Tribe is very important to me. I love belong. And sun. Sun is one of the things that I really, really need.
Yeah. What's your favorite color?
Oh, that's a hard question. That's a whole palette. I have two that ones that are really winners is red and black. I don't know why, but it's just like... I melt like, this is it. My wedding dress was red, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, red is a very powerful color. It speaks, you know, sometimes people look at it as being aggressive or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's very vibrant. It's very strong. You know, the Chinese find it very lucky.
Yeah.
And there's a lot to red. And, you know, black, you can get white from black, but you will never get black from white.
Yeah. That's very true. And even the lady who made my dress said, by any chance, do you know like kings and queens history? And I'm like, no, they usually used to wear red as a like, you know, royalty thing. And I'm just like, well, I don't know that, but I'm going to take it.
It is. And then also you're part of the country, you know, you're part of Europe, uses a lot of red.
Yeah. Okay, red roses are something that we are obsessed.
What would you tell a 25-year-old, Salvia?
Ooh, 25-year-old. It's not a bad age to be, but I would say whatever doubts you have, whatever you package to bring from somewhere and thinking you can't do something, just fuck it, do it, because you're going to fall flat on the face many times, but you're going to learn incredible lessons in your life. And don't listen to anyone who says you can't, because I believe that age 25 is where you decide to create a family and settle down, or and ditch your dreams, or you choose everything. So I would say choose everything, because it's possible.
Absolutely. What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy would be that I leave a message for people that no matter what you've gone through, you still have possibility to change it and be who you are. Because when I was growing up, when they said, when you are messed up, you are messed up. There is no way back. So that was really, really keeping me helpless and hopeless. So my legacy would be like that you can do anything no matter what happened.
So you can do everything. Can you do everything with RTT therapy? You know, rapid transformational therapy? That kind of seems kind of scary to me. It just seems like you're doing things at warp speed. Like, you know, we're on some ayahuasca or some mushrooms or something. Let's just real. Well, I'm telling you, it's real popular now. They're trying to make the mushrooms legal here in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Oh, didn't know that. You didn't hear that? Oh, girl, yes. You know, well, they made marijuana just seem like it's the next cigarette. And people don't realize that it's genetically modified too. But that's a whole nother story. Now they're doing the mushrooms, you know, to put people on the psychedelic trip for them to release trauma. Oh, it's really big.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And then there's a lot of people now that are doing ayahuasca. It seems like they're going from one extreme to the next. Instead of really just kind of, you know, tightening your bootstraps and finding out who you are on a grassroots level. Who am I without all these mind-altering substances? Why do I have to be out of my mind or my skin or my soul? Why do I have to transform somewhere else to understand who this is in this meat suit?
Yeah, I don't like these things, those substances, and especially anything that can make me hallucinate, no go, literally no go.
It's enough. So tell me a little bit about RTT therapy, though. What is that?
So RTT is based on quite a few techniques. It's like hypnotherapy, NLP, and other really great therapies. So RTT focuses to help person as soon as possible. It's not like we're going to work for 10 months and you may be going to have some progress, or we may be going to manage your pain. No, it works on a 1 to 3 sessions maximum. And it's so powerful. I've done it myself, but now I work with the clients. So you can work on basically anything. The only things we do not work is borderline disorder, narcissism, or any like serious medication that you can lose a sense of reality. But anyone else, free to come with any issues, is like comes from physical pain to mental trauma. A few things I worked on was anxiety, migraine, snoring, heart palpitations, now working with smoking addicts. He haven't smoked since we had session from Sunday, and he was trying to quit smoking 4 years.
Wow.
It's like literally nothing worked.
You know what someone else told me that they did RTT? They are a professional athlete. And what they've done is they've turned the dial, not so much trying to relieve trauma, but trying to raise their frequency and heighten their ability and to find and unlock the true essence and their greatness. And I'm telling you, they're a beast. There's no stopping them. So it can be used in one perspective as, you know, trying to get you from being underground, or at another level of taking you to your zenith point. It's amazing.
Amazing. I do it on myself too. So I use some sort of aspects of it for myself, for my performance. But yeah, I do also help people with money blocks. That would be a one thing, kind of increase your performance, or let's say confidence, anything, absolutely. Because what you do, you go into your subconscious mind, understand where the problem is, reframe the problem, embed new habits. And those habits make you whatever you want to be, successful, more confident, make more money, whatever. So it's working with yourself deeply But what I love about it, you don't need to hallucinate or do anything or lose control. You always are in control and know what you're doing. So if, as a person who experienced so much trauma, I can feel safe. And I understand well people who would say, oh, I don't like to lose control. And I would say, that's fine, because this is brilliant. If you don't want to say things, you don't.
Right. Let's keep it 100% transparent. Do you still fall into that dark space sometimes?
Yeah, so since we are human beings, emotions are not avoidable. I just had literally this week a person betray me and cause me a huge opportunity with company. I just sat down flat. I had to cry off, understand what happened, because I was like blown off in the second, and just understand what my emotions are. So clearly I felt angry, disappointment, judgmental. There was also even like, oh, can I do revenge? But I usually stop myself. Let's not go there. But I had to progress for the day, and even reach out to my friends. And I said, look, this is what happened. I really feel bad. And I was down for part of the day. So it's really normal. I think people mix from managing your emotions to avoiding your emotions, as you mentioned in the beginning, because managing your emotions, you understand that you can get sad, you can get angry, you can get disappointed. You can think, oh my God, today is like something. But what is good that you acknowledge it and you're just like, but it's going to pass. It's all going to pass. I'm going to handle it. I'm really good about it. It's just something happened, but something better is coming. So when you manage it, you just like, you understand what happened, you handle it, and you look forward to future. When you swipe it off, you cause yourself trauma, and the trauma grows into usually physical aspects as insomnia, physical pain, and other stuff.
Insomnia is the worst. You know, when you get mad and you hot about something, girl, you can't sleep, because it just keeps rattling around in that monkey brain. But I understand what you're saying. You have to sit with it, brains. You have to take ownership. And sometimes, you know, my mother, me and her had a conversation. Oh, I miss her so much. But and she was so cool. You know, she would say, well, baby, could you imagine if you got everything your heart desired? She said, you would be jacked up like a soup sandwich.
She is right. She is.
You know, and so maybe because you did not get that opportunity, it may have been a blessing in disguise, because you were going to have to work. And if you were going to have to work next to or with or be influenced or encouraged by someone that really didn't have your best intentions and your best, you know, your best at heart, then it probably was a blessing. And so it's hard to see that. The things I always say, the things that hurt us the most are truly our best teachers.
Exactly.
And what don't kill you only makes you stronger. And I am so glad that you are on this side of strength, with that beautiful smile, and that you are able to walk the walk and talk the talk and help others. Please tell individuals how to get in contact with you, Salvia. Now, brains, like I tell you all the time, all my amazing guests are all over the world. We are in 42. I think I need to check that. I think we're in 49 countries now. We're doing big things, but I seek them out. I talk to them. We have a conversation. I want to make sure that they are going to be on your radar, that you can understand and resonate where they're coming from. Because I'm not going to just put anybody. I'm not going to spend their time. I'm not going to spend my time. And I'm not going to spin your wheels. I want you to be with the best and the brightest. And she's a point and a click away. Okay? And if you got enough nerve and probably $1,000, fly over to London and have a one-on-one session. Again, stay there for the week. She says she can do the RTT on you and get you, you know, up and running within 3 or 4 sessions. Take advantage of these opportunities. Have the conversation. Give her a call. We didn't get to talk much about this, but she'll be back, because she's told me that she's interested in writing a book. And I'd love to hear an audible version of it, because that voice inflection is huge. And it transports you. It takes you into another place. It's very comforting. It's very soothing. So tell my brains how to get in contact with you, please.
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook with same name, Salvia Coaching and Therapy. On LinkedIn, I am with my full Salvia Richuna name. And you can just easily DM me. I do also my sessions of coaching and therapy online. So I do work with people all around the world.
take advantage of it. You know, this the pandemic, it did open up a window of opportunity. It allowed us to meet people that we'd have never met before, to share with different modalities. Everything is not for everybody. I get it. But you know what? You don't know until you try. I mean, until someone turned you onto it, you didn't know what was possible either, right?
Exactly. Like, I didn't even know, like, hypnotherapy is a thing. I know only psychotherapy. That's all I knew.
Yeah. Well, tell your husband that I'm glad that he's with you and that he let us talk about him just a little bit, okay? And pet the corgis on the head for me. Tell them April
will do. They will be happy. They love attention.
I know. Brains, give me some of your attention. Please go love, like, and share right here at the podcast. Love, like, and share on the edge. Go to Salvia's website. Leave a comment. I ask that you always leave a comment on these interviews because that's how we grow. We don't want to just be talking for the sake of talking. We want to talk and speak to what you need to make you feel better. That's what we're dedicating our life to. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye, brains. Have a good day.